Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Pinchas. So Parshas Pinchas begins with Pinchas being rewarded for being Nokim Nikmas Hashem, for what he did with Cusby and Zimri, that he stabbed them and brought stopped the Megefa. So he gets Brisi Shalom. What is Brisi Shalom? So in one of the Pshatim, the Chizkuni says, because Pinchas was afraid, since there's a halacha, that if a Kohen is a Rotzeach, he can't duchen anymore. So Pinchas thought that he was going to be made a Kohen, but maybe he was a murderer, so he couldn't be a Kohen, so that's gave him Brisi Shalom, that he would be able to continue to be a Kohen. And he also got Briskehu Nas Olam. He became a Kohen, but not just any Kohen. He got Briskehu Nas Olam, so the Chizkuni says that all Kohanim Gedolim that were in the Mikdash, even at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, all came from Pinchas. They were all related to Pinchas. Brings a passing of Divrei Hayomim, but Eliezer, Holiness, Pinchas, whatever. Anyway, that's what he says. All the Kohen Gadols that were in the Beis HaMikdash through the beginning of Bayis Sheni, beginning of, were all from Pinchas at some point, right? The Kohanim Gadolim started being picked for all the wrong reasons, as we know from the Mishnayos and everything. But through the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there it came from Pinchas. So that's Kahunas Olam. Get the Kohen forever. Okay. Then there's an interesting Pasuk. I guess probably most people wouldn't think much about it. In Pasuk Yudches, so Hashem's telling them, Tzaroras Amid Yanim, because of, you should punish the Midianites for what they did for you. Because what they try to entice you with Dvar Pa'or, and Dvar Kozbi Vasnasi Midyan Achosam. So, and also because of Cosby, a princess, Midian Achosam, their sister. Their sister. What sister? So the Chizkuni says it wasn't a sister. It was she was from the Midianite nation, but she wasn't a sister. It doesn't mean it's a sister. Rather, it means because she gave her life for her nation, it's called like she's their sister. Or to say that better, Midian was called her relative, like the whole of Midian was called her sister, meaning because she gave her life for Midian, so they were, the whole nation was under her name, like they were her sister. Okay, anyway, then we have the Mishpachos Haruveni, where we list all the Mishpachos. So we have Ruveni, there's three tribes that get the Hey and the Yud, the Hey at the beginning and the Yud at the end, the Ruveni. The Ruvain, Shimon, and Zvulun. Those are the three Shvatim that are called Ruvaini, Shimoni, and Zvulun. Like Bnei Yehuda just says, Bnei Yehuda. These are Bnei Yehuda, but by Zvulun, it says, Pasuk Chav Zayin. It says Zvuloni. Those are the three things where the Shevet is called Zvuloni, Shimoni. Why is that they get the Hay and the Yod, which is Shem Hashem? Only those three Shvatim. So he says, the Chizkuni says that Reuben and Shimon was to be Mephias them, because Reuben had been knocked from Bechorah from yesteryear, and Shimon, what happened with Mais and Zimri, and Zvulun, because he would always go, he would go B'makom Sakana to be Moser Nefesh. Okay. Okay, then we have in Pasuk Chavtes, B'nei Menashe L'Machir. So it starts off, it's the order, Menashe and Ephraim, who comes first? So here we have B'nei Menashe first. Earlier, last time we did it in Bamidbar, we had Ephraim first. In other words, everything else is the same. These two are flipped. Why is that? So he gives a couple of different pshatim. One is because he says the who was bigger changed, the size of the of which Sheva was bigger changed, and whoever was bigger came first. And another answer is because before we were starting with the Degalim, so with the Degalim, Ephraim came first. But here, when we're talking about for Chalukas Haaretz, since Menashe took Chelek Ba'aretz first, meaning they got it in Eivor Nahar, Eivor Yardin rather, so that's why they're mentioned first, because they got Chelek Ba'aretz, or they got Chalukah first. Okay. Then we have B'Shem Bas Asher Serach. So why does it write, the pasuk write it in an unusual way? It should have just said, Bas Asher Sarach. What's this? Shame Bas Asher Sarach. The name. Anyway, so he says, and this is based also a Targum, says, Shum Bas Itas Asher Sarach. That is, believe it or not, Sarach was not Asher's daughter. It was Asher's wife's daughter. If you look in the Unkelus, depends which version of Unkelus you have, some of them have that it was his wife's daughter. So it was Shame Bas Asher. That was her name. She was called Bas Asher, but she wasn't actually Bas Asher. She was actually Asher's wife. Okay, that's all nice. The Chizkuni just has a problem with all this. Who is the father then? If it's one of the Shvatim, it should have been listed by him. And if it wasn't, it was just his wife who had some other man. Why is she part of Yaakov's family? Doesn't it go with the father? So you wouldn't think it would be mentioned in Yaakov's family. So he has another possibility that maybe she was. Sounds like he's saying maybe she was Usher's daughter. And the word shame, that extra shame, Bas Asher, what's the shame? It means she had a shame, the Tova. She was famous for her tzidkus. Whatever, she had a famous name. She was well known. Okay. All right, then we get to the Chalukas Haaretz, and it says, L'Rav Tarbe Nachlaso. So there's a famous Machlukas here. What does it mean? So according to Rashi, everyone took based on how big their families were. So some Shvatim got bigger portions than others. Everything was based on how many people you had. And according to the Ramban, no, there were 12 equal portions divided amongst all the Shvatim. And then they divide up amongst themselves based on how many people they had. Okay, so Chizkuni goes with Rashi. So, and that not all the pieces of land were equal. It went by the size of the mishpacha. Okay, then we have that Yehoshua is appointed to lead Klal Yisrael after Moshe, and it says, "Vayismoch es yadav olav." He did like smicha, like you do by a carbon. The Chizkuni says, he was somech his hands on him to show that it was meritzono. He was happy. It was wanted that Yehoshua should be in charge. And the Chizkuni says, this is where the Goyim learned it from. That when someone gets appointed, that I guess apparently people did this. They put their hands on the guy who gets appointed. And I don't know. I guess that's done. He says, like he had said before, like the Degalim, where did people get the whole idea of the Degalim for countries? He says they got it from the Chumash. He said they got this too from the Chumash. Apparently, when someone got appointed, they put their hands on it. They're getting it from the Chumash. Okay. Then we have the Karban Tamid is mentioned. It says, Olas Tamid Hasuya Behar Sinai. So the Olas Tamid that was done in Har Sinai, the Chizkuni says, what do you mean Hasuya Behar Sinai? Means once you brought it Behar Sinai, so I don't want it to stop. Okay, now listen up for this one. This is a very important, I think. What he says about Biyom HaShabbos, right? That on Shabbos you bring a carbon musaf, which you know are two sheep. So he says, by all carbonos, it says a lashon of hakrava or asiya. But by Shabbos, it doesn't say any of that. Because on Shabbos, you really can't do malacha. So out of kavod Shabbos, it doesn't use that lashon. Just says what's going to be brought. Doesn't say you shall bring, just says it. That's how it's covered Shabbos, because malacha is really usher on Shabbos, even though obviously you bring the carbon musaf on Shabbos. But since malacha is usher, it doesn't mention it. And Hashem didn't want us to have to bring too much, so it's just two sheep, and there's no chatas. Every other musaf, carbon musaf, by every other holiday, there's a chatas. Shabbos has no chatas as part of the musaf. It's just two sheep. Why is that? So he explains, because chatas, who eats the chatas? Humans, right? It's eaten by Adam. as opposed to the stuff brought on Shabbos. That's not a kavod Shabbos, to be mechal Shabbos, to give it to people. Rather, therefore, the only things you bring are things that go l'gavoah. So, you bring the carbon, it gets all burnt on the Mizbeach, and that's it. But not the humans can eat it. And that's why it says, Ratzisa carbon oseha, you wanted its carbon, because they're all for Hashem. Atz kavod Hashem, the Musaf, does not have anything that anybody eats. Now the Chizkuni asks another pretty famous question. Why is it that we don't read, every holiday we read the Karban Musaf, right? Every single holiday, Rosh Chodesh. We read you're always reading the Karban of that day in Musaf. So why don't we read, talking about unleaning. Why don't we read the Karban that you bring for the holiday of Shabbos? Why don't we read that as part of Kriyas Torah? It should be Maftir. Every single Shabbos, there should be Yubayom HaShabbos, Shnei Chavasim, B'nei Shnatrim. How come we don't read it on Shabbos? Pretty age-old question. So he says it's this point about the Chatas. It's not, there's no Chatas. What's the point of reading the Karban? Because reading from the Torah, the Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. You got that? So that's good if it's a Kapara. Then it's important that we read it in Shul. So it should be like, when we say it, it's as if it's brought, then it's a Kapara. The Kabbarnas of Musaf of Shabbos were not a Kapara. So it was just L'Reich Nichoach L'Hashem. So therefore, there's no need for us to read it in Shul, because they weren't coming like Kapara anyway. That's what the Chizkuni said. He then also explains why is it by some holidays, specifically Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres, we only bring one. Every other ones, there's multiple. Shivach Vasim, things like that. But on Rosh Hashanah, there's one. Shmini Atzeres, there's one. Yom Kippurim is one. So Rosh Hashanah, because there is really two Musafs, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, so in that sense there are two. And on Yom Kippur you have all the other ones, you have Par Shel Aaron and Seir HaGrala. Therefore it's just enough to have one Par, and Shmini Atzeres, it's the Par, one Par connected the Klal Yisrael, which is one. But other than that, they have one Par, those holidays. So Shana, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres only have one Par. Okay, now we have in Pasuk Chavav, Shavuos. What does the Torah call Shavuos? Biyom HaBikurim, because that's when you can, that's when you bring Karbanos, you bring Bikurim. Pasuk also says B'Shavuos Eichem, and the Targum calls it Batzar Teichon. That's where we call, why we call Shavuos Atzeres. Also, there is no mention of the word Chatas by Shavuos. And just says Sirizim, you're expecting it to say Echad L'Chatas. It doesn't. It says, gotta find it, 1 second. Sirizim Echad L'Chaper Aleichem. It doesn't say the word Chatas. And he brings the Medrash, Hashem says to Klai Yisrael, since you're Mekabel the Torah, that's as if you never sinned. Okay. Now this is also a big one, by Sukkos. The Sukkos we have, the Pari HaChai go down, that everybody knows, it goes 13, 12, whatever. And then they have, this is by the Musafs, it starts with 13 bulls, then goes down. By the Kvasim, it stays consistent at 14. Now, you know, by a regular holiday, how many Shiva Kvasim B'nei Shana, right? Almost all holidays, that's what they say, Shnei Shiva Kvasim B'nei Shana, it's always 7. Sukkah says double, has 14. That's not coincidence. So says the Chizkuni, because on Sukkah, there's a Tosefet Simcha. Because they already brought in all their harvest, that's a simcha, and there's also a Tosefes mitzvah, because you have sukkos and dalet minim and all that. So therefore, it has a double musaf, because it's got those two aspects to it, a Tosefes simcha, because it's the harvest time, and also Tosefes mitzvah, so it's got both, therefore the karbanos are doubled. He points out that the 70 parim total that are brought over Sukkos, so what's that connected? He says that's for the 52 Shabboses of the year, the 7 days of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuos, 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur, and the 8 Yimei Achag, that equals 70. Yimei Achag meaning Sukkos is 70. Rashi had it from Pshat, but that says Pshat. Now, these karbanos, the 70 kibbonos for the Umas Olam, this would protect them. So the Chizkuni says that's why, if in Zachariah with the Parsha Haftorah, we read them, it says that if they don't keep Sukkos, they get punished. That's because Sukkos is really supposed to protect them. So if they can't even do a Sukkos, that's why they get punished with it. Okay. Then at the end, Shmini Atzeres, we do not sit in the Sukkah. Right, in Eretz Israel, nobody sits in the Sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. The reason we sit in the Sukkah in Chutz Laaretz is because it's a suffix, whether it's the last day of Sukkah. But in Shmini Atzeres, you don't sit in the Sukkah. Why is that? It sounds like it's a really kind of continuation. So why is the Torah say that? So why is there no Sukkah? The Torah did that because the 7 days of Sukkahs, we just davening for dew. But on the last day of Sukkahs, meaning the last day, which is Shmini Atzeres, we daven for rain. And therefore, they're going to be potter from Sukkah so that they could daven Belev Shalim on the rain. I think that is one of the sources of why some people do not sit in the Sukkah, even in Chutz Laaretz, on what is in Chutz Laaretz, Shmini Atzeres, which is a Suffolk last day of Pesach, so that they should daven with Belev Shalim for the rain. Okay. And Hashem made it a small carbon, par achad, ayel achad, to show that Hashem didn't keep them because he wants their kabbanos, but rather because he just loves the Jewish people. And that's the end of Pinchas, Parshat Pinchas.